Welcome to Health Butts and Guts, on the forefront of intestinal health and nutrition. Tune in with Mel and Kelv for enlightening tales of coffee enemas, perennial bleaching, and holistic teachings. Lovely.
Da-na-na, da-na-na. Welcome to the big show.
Is that our new intro song? Jingle?
I think that was from like Jock Jams back in the day. Don't know Jock Jams?
No, I don't think so.
It was like this CD from, and then like, I guess like 1999 to like 2003. Maybe even longer. I don't know. And they even, I'm kind of confused because now I'm thinking of Now. Remember the Now CDs?
Yeah, and then they had like a number or something.
It's like that same type of music.
Just think. But why is it called Jock Jam?
Because it was like the dances that all the cheerleaders would do, like their competition dances to.
For the jocks?
For the jocks, yeah.
It just makes me think of someone wearing like a DJ wearing a jock strap talking about the latest songs.
What is that movie? The one with the Bring It On movie. They played a lot of jock jams in there.
Oh. Have you ever seen a jock strap before?
I think so. Like a cup? Is that two different things?
No, a cup is different. A jock strap, I think, is what holds a cup in.
I don't think so, then, is it?
One time...
I don't know.
One time, I was looking for something in my parents' room, and I was in, like, their, like, underwear drawer or something, and I saw a jock strap, because my dad played football, and, like, he, like, would work out a lot and stuff, so, like, I found one of those in the drawer, and I was mortified. I didn't know it was a jock strap, and I was like... Oh my gosh, like my dad wears thongs. Like, I had no idea. I think I asked my mom about it, and that was like the first time I'd ever seen a jock strap or like knew what it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Was she like, why the hell are you in my drawers?
No, I don't remember like if I was trying to find like a slip or a pair of nylons or socks or something. And hunting because I didn't know what drawer it was in, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't like snooping, you know?
Yeah.
But I was just like, what is this? Because it's not like, as far as I remember, it's not like a normal thong. I think it like goes up your legs and like.
Like you step into it.
Yeah.
There's like a circle and a circle and then it like.
Yeah.
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 Okay. I'm pretty sure I've seen that, but. I don't, like, not on a man.
No. I look at the pop.
Do they still wear them?
I think so. Or do they just slip the cup in because now the pants are so tight?
I don't know.
Like in football.
Is that specifically what it's for, is to hold the cup?
Or their balls? I don't know.
The strap holds their balls? Call Manscaped. See what... Can someone explain this? We need a model.
Oh, jeez.
That is so funny. One time, a girlfriend and I, there was actually a handful of us, and we got into one of the mom's drawers, and she pulled it out, actually. The girl pulled out, she's like, look at this. And it was her mom's, like, it was a huge dildo. It wasn't even a vibrator, it was a dildo. And I was like, oh. You're touching your, like, I was just mortified because she, like, swung it around and thought it was funny. And I was like, that goes in your mom's.
Ew.
Like, why are you swinging it around? And why do you know about it? And why are you showing your butts? Like, there are so many, like, whys that I just couldn't.
Like, you would think a kid at that age would be more embarrassed. Like,
right.
I don't want my friends to know. I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. Oh, no. She got it out. She's swinging it around. And she was hands-on. And I was like, oh, my God. Gross.
Well, I think that actually is, like, I know we like to chat and stuff. But I feel like that's such a good segue into what we're going to talk about today.
You know what it is?
Because it sounds like she was, like, embarrassed or insecure. And so she was, like... That's the way she was processing and dealing with it, was like trying to make it not a big deal and laugh about it, even though she was probably dying inside.
That's something I definitely would do. Like, just bring all the attention to it so that it's like at least you can laugh about it instead of like... But no, I felt like she definitely knew what she was doing. Like, she brought us in. It's not like we just like
happened to stumble upon it and then experience the shock together.
Right. No, she was like, check this out. But or oh, it could have, she could have been insecure about it and like, okay, if I joke about it, then maybe my friends will be like, oh, my mom has one too.
Yeah, yeah. Or I wonder if she's like, wanted to be cool, to be like, I know about this stuff, and it's like not what like kids our age do, but like I know about it. Like, you know, if like kids kind of sneak porn or like one time growing up, we were sheltered and we were not allowed to watch like anything other than like G cartoon.
Okay.
And our cousins had watched Ghost.
Uh-huh.
And they gave us the tape.
Oh.
And so we had, there was a TV with a VCR. You know those TVs that had the VCR like built into them?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, they were like the tubes with the big back.
Yeah.
So we had one of those TVs in the downstairs guest bedroom. And we coordinated where when my mom was like outside or doing something where she couldn't stop and hear us, we carried this TV. We were like, I don't know how old we were. I think maybe I was like 7 and my sister was 9. And we lugged up this TV that was probably like 50 pounds up the stairs into our closet. And we shoved it in the closet. We got an extension cord. We put the movie in there. We're like sitting there like watching it with the door closed. And then we heard like every time we'd hear a noise, we'd pause it. And like we close the door. We'd like sit there waiting for our mom to come and catch us. And then finally like we heard our mom actually calling us. And so my sister and I like decided I would go down to like distract my mom and just like, you know, not let her know what we were doing. And so I went downstairs and then I was like, it took me a while to come back up and my sister was nervous. And so I was like running so fast to go in the room to tell her like everything was okay. And she was running out so fast because she thought maybe my mom was coming upstairs and we hit each other so hard.
I thought you were going to say like she was carrying the TV and
no, but like it was just so funny. It's like those things that, you know, kids like hear about or they talk about or like the sex scenes or like all those things, you know, like you're like you want to be cool. You want to tell your friends about it.
Oh, my God.
So maybe that's kind of what she was trying to do.
I actually did that. A girl, one of my very best friends growing up, we found a, like, it was black and white. It almost looked like a TV guide, but it was a little porn book.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, Kelly, come here, check this out. And she brings me to like this side yard because it's big yards in Norco.
Yeah.
And she brings me to like her side yard and she's like, look at this book that we found. So of course we bring it to the barn and we had it like tucked away in the barn and we had like candy stashed. So every once in a while, that was like where our like hideout was. And we'd be like, okay, get out the magazine. And we'd look at the magazine and it'd be like, oh, look at that, so gross. Like, we'd look at, like, one page, eat a candy, and, like, run out. But
that's cute.
My family was the same way. Like, I was not allowed to watch anything. Like, The Simpsons, absolutely no way in hell. Like,
we couldn't watch, like, SpongeBob or, like, Beavis and Butthead. Even as an adult, I've watched Beavis and Butthead because I was like, okay, what was it about? It's gross. Like, I don't even like watching it or think it's funny.
I don't watch, I don't know.
They're
but
just like
I don't
weird.
Watch The Simpsons either. I do like Family Guy, but like, we couldn't watch any of that.
Yeah, we couldn't either.
See, I think that, I know I'm totally going off subject, but when, like, I rebelled because of that stuff. Like, I'm like, you held me, you caged a bird. And as soon as I got out, I was like, see ya. Like,
yeah.
I feel like my parents held me too tight to where if they just would have been like, okay, Kelly, instead of telling me I have to be home by 8 o'clock and then I'd sneak out at 9 when they'd fall asleep.
Yeah.
They would have known where I was the whole time.
Right.
Like when friends, like they would lie for me and or their parents would lie for me and be like, okay, you guys have to be home by 10 o'clock because your mom's going to murder me, Kelly. And I'd be like, okay. I would be like super sweet. Like, okay, not going to drink any alcohol. Like 9:55, we got to be in the house. Like your mom knows where we are. You know, like I respected it.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting on parenting and like holding tight or relationships in that matter, like holding tight. And
yeah,
then,
it's true. I think a lot like people always want to figure out like why or the root or the origin of like your issues as an adult, mm-hmm. you know, like where they stem from. Is it nature versus nurture? Is it like your environment? Is it whatever? And as much as people want, like people, some people want to deny that it is how you were raised, or that like my personal belief, and I don't think it's just like religious, but I think that it's also been proven that having like a like both parents, a dad and a mom in a house raising kids, it gives them like an ability to see how roles are and like different genders and all that stuff. It really does make an impact on kids, and especially like parents teaming up.
Yeah.
I think like going on what you're saying, when like when parents are open with their kids, right? And they're like, okay, this is what this is, whatever. You feel more comfortable and confident to confide in your parents or ask them questions or ask them for help. Right. If you're in a situation where you're at a party and like it gets broken up by cops, or you get in an accident or whatever, you know, kind of situation you're in. Mm-hmm. And I think like when it goes to insecurities, like what we're going to talk about today, I think that has a really big impact on kids, because like a parent could help change a kid's like reaction or response or way that they feel about an insecurity that they have. So like a parent could either tell their kid if the kid has like big ears or a big nose or something like that, like they could make their child feel beautiful and be like, no, your nose or your ears define you, and that's like embrace the best part of you, and give them the confidence versus like making excuses or distracting from it or brushing it off like it's not a big deal, you know, or being defensive, and that can cause like some sort of an insecurity.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because literally the opposite of insecurities is being confident. Uh-huh. So to teach your child to be confident is literally teaching them how to not be insecure about mm-hmm. things that are going to come your way, where a lot of times parents are constantly just teaching their kids no, no, no. I mean, you're constantly no, no, don't do this, you know, because they don't know.
Yeah.
So it's just very interesting that you say choose confidence.
Yeah.
But
when I was looking up the definition of insecurities, it's one of the sites said it's defined as a lack of safety.
Ooh.
So it's interesting, because you feel like, well, not feel, but like when I think of insecurities, I think of like lack of confidence, mm-hmm. right? I don't think about feeling safe or being safe, but like it makes sense, because if you feel secure, then you feel safe,
right?
And you don't have any sort of fears or doubts,
and you're prepared almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what website it was that I was looking at that same insecurities, the opposite is confident. But they're saying that confidence is all confidence is like the willing to try, mm-hmm. even though you're talking like looks.
Yeah.
You know, and being confident in the way you look. But if you are insecure about the way you look, then you would try to change something, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're insecure about your behaviors, you would also try to change that.
Right.
Or at least, once again, willing to try to do that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's very...
Yeah, you're taking a risk to do something different out of your comfort zone, you know, because you could make the excuses, you could walk away from a situation, you could be shy or close up or any of those things, for then like being like, okay, you know what, I'm acknowledging this, right. Whether I agree to it or not, I don't want to deal with someone making me feel this way. So what can I change about it? Do I change how I perceive myself and build my confidence, or how I talk to someone, or how I look?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What are your insecurities? Are you willing? Because, okay, first, like when I was thinking about this subject, like I was like, okay, I'm going to write down a whole list of what my insecurities are, and I'm going to address every single one of them. And then I started thinking, like, I have a few written down, and I'm definitely willing to share my insecurities, but I also wanted to be like, it's very important not to bring attention to some insecurities to where they're small deal. For instance, like, visually, you know, where it's like, some people might love my big gums. Some people might hate and think that's what's ugly about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and some people might not even notice
recognize it.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's like, I didn't want to, by asking you what your insecurities, I don't know if you made like a list of them, but I also wanted to be very protective of like not exposing all of your insecurities. Mm-hmm. And when they're small ones that maybe you can work on.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because I have some that I was like, I'm not going to write these down because I know that this episode, I have a lot of like tools for this episode. So I'm like, I don't want to bring attention to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's such small deal, big deal, little deal. And so that, but that's what I just want to say before asking it.
Well, I want to ask you more about yours though.
Okay. Well, my first one, the first thing that I wrote down was I was, of course, worried about looking stupid. Like that's.
Like in this topic, like on the podcast or in general?
Just in general.
I was like, because we've already passed that. Like, you can't go back. We probably my God.
Yeah. No. I'm constantly worried about looking stupid. I mean,
like. But to who?
To anyone, really. Like, it would be. It's more of like someone that I'm trying to explain something to, like something that I'm passionate about. For instance, the coffee enema. And someone's like, okay, explain to me. And I'm like, well, okay. And then they're not understanding like the way I explain it. And I'm like, okay, that I start to feel insecure that maybe I'm saying it wrong. They think I'm crazy. So many levels of like, oh, I start shutting down. I'm like, I don't know. Like, just call me crazy. Who cares? And that's what I resort to. Like, if it just call me crazy.
So do you think I'm totally going to go into like psychoanalysis, Freud stuff, whatever, but do you think you have, like, you've seen this before in your past and you've seen someone else, like, look stupid or you thought they were stupid or something like that, and that's why you're really sensitive to not being that way because you saw how, like, it affected them or...
No, I just think I have a huge ego. That's like... I've done my studies. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. This weekend, I went over to a girlfriend's house, and I was telling them, I was showing pictures of what has come out of the enema.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. And she's like, so why do you do that? And I was explaining to her, and she's like, oh, God. But her reaction to me was actually very rude. This girl doesn't love me. She's not the, she, we've always been that way. But she was like, so you do that. I'm like, I'm willing to do anything. Like, honestly, I've even done, like, my doctor's had me put coffee in my vagina. Like, mm-hmm. I'm willing to do anything for my health and to detox. And she was like, so why would you put it in there? And I was like, well, there's trauma and release. And he talks about the chi. And she was like, I don't get it. And I was like, well, I don't really know how to explain it. She's like, so why would you do something that you just do it because your doctor told you? I'm like, well, no, my doctor explained to me why I was doing it, but I don't have like the knowledge to give you what he told me.
Yeah.
I can't repeat it. I don't know how to repeat it. I don't have like the verbiage. Like it didn't stick with me that way. And she was like, okay. So then I just felt judged and I was like, whatever, you know, like, let me be me and you do you. Like, you don't have to be rude about it.
It sounds like she had, like, a motive to, like, not listen to what you were saying and ask you, like, more, like, the way she was asking you these questions. Obviously, I wasn't there and this is, like, you sharing it. Uh-huh. But it sounds like she was trying to make you feel stupid and trying to, like, she was insecure herself because she would never do this. And maybe it's something she doesn't believe in. And so because she didn't feel safe or comfortable and maybe she also doesn't like you or maybe she's in, not that she doesn't like you, but maybe she is insecure because of the things that you're comfortable to do or say isn't something that she would do. So instead of her just sitting and like being more intrigued and interested and curious, she's like defensive about it and she wants to make you feel like bad or stupid.
Well, you nailed it. You did. Because like when I was showing like what came out of my mom, what came out of me, she was, her response at first, this was before questioning even like the why I would put coffee in my vagina and how awful she thinks that sounds. She was saying, I was like, oh, look at this came out of me and this came out of my mom. And she was like, that comes out of my vagina monthly with her period. And I was
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
What?
No, and so
the
like,
worm thing?
The worm thing that came out of
ew,
me.
But that's remember disgusting.
The plastic thing that came out of my mom? That's how she responded. And I was like,
wait, sorry. I'm gagging.
This you should gag because it's either like if that I came from a place of love because you know me, usually I'd shut down and be like, whatever, this bitch doesn't get it. But I was like,
I just have like the weirdest image in my head. I'm like, I don't know. Sorry, I'm just trying to like digest what she said comes out of her vagina.
She said that comes out monthly, out of every time she has her period. And I was like, I looked at her with eyes of love, and I was like, and that doesn't concern you?
Like, was she saying discharge, like the white cloudy discharge? Or she's talking about, like the dark worm, like, black
No, she's talking about the lining, the one of my mom's, you know, like
how it looks like, whatever
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it looks like a plastic tube that came out of my mom. It looks like trash that came out of her, literally. And she was like, that just looks like lining of the body. And ooh. I was like... And that doesn't concern you if that's coming out of... I came from a place where I'm like, maybe you have like endometriosis, but have you ever thought about getting that checked?
Yeah.
You know, because I think she was just doing it to be like, it's not a big deal. Like, I have that shit come out of me every month. And I'm like, oh,
right.
Girl.
Or like, nothing's wrong with me.
Right. Or like, your pictures aren't a big deal. Like, why are you making it a big deal? Or like, so why are you doing these again? And I'm like, you want to keep those in your body? Like,
I would be very concerned.
I would be too.
That's sad though.
But I mean, some people, you know, like some people are okay with living unhealthy lifestyle, you know, like,
yeah, or maybe they don't really know.
She's a heavy smoker, cigarettes, you know, no judgment. I used to smoke with her, but you know, like that could also be a trigger too. It's like, I'm cleaning myself up a little bit and she's still back there. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of insecurities,
yeah,
and that went off in that engagement with her. But I still felt that like insecurity of like, shit, like why am I even preaching this if I can't like fully explain it, you know? Yeah. But instead, I just was so truthful. I was like, I don't know, like I can't repeat it to you, but I can give you his number.
Yeah,
and I was very confident with that. But I was like, okay, like this is, it's not going to go anywhere too. Like know who you're talking to, right? Like why have these insecurities with someone that's going to treat you that way no matter what?
Right. It's not personal. It's not what you've said. It's like their own issues.
Yeah.
And the sooner you can recognize that, then the less personal you're going to take it, the less you're going to feel.
Yeah.
It's like they're transferring their insecurity to you.
Yeah. But I didn't play that game. I was like, block.
Block.
Come from love. Come from love. I did. I even served her a cocktail. I was like, let me get you a cocktail. Like, your drink's empty. Which me, normally, I'd be like,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
I do. Take those insecurities
and
switch it. Because I've said it to you many times. Like, a lot of the times, insecurities is because you're looking in a mirror and it's reflection.
Yeah. It's true.
Oh.
So in my church, there's this, like it's called the Jesus prayer. And you say like, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me.
Uh-huh.
And this one saint was saying, if people said that before they started a conversation or they did something, there would be so much more peace in the world because you're coming from like a place of humility and like non-judgment, because like you're like you're not, like, you can't judge others if you're in that place in your life.
Right.
And it just, like, made me think of that with, like, you came in a place of love. Like, you were humbling yourself to talk to this girl, and even though she was being mean to you because of her own things, like, you were still coming at it with love.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's tricky, though, because the more you're kind to someone, sometimes it causes them to, like, be even more mean because they can't accept that, like, niceness or love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I felt that. And I'm also a tricky, tricky human being where I'm like, I know, I already know that she kind of has, like, a weird thing with me. She has for years. So, of course, like, I'm going to kill her with kindness, where I'm like...
So you're, like, pushing it too?
Of course I am. You know, like, I'm like, there's no reason not to. Like, I've never done anything to her. I think it's just because we shared a best friend.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a boyfriend. I was like, yeah.
No. We shared, like, a best friend, and then just her and I never... You know, it never became a three best friend. It was like,
yeah,
they hung out and then we hung out. And it just, I don't know. So I just have always kind of stayed on the back burner. She's wild. I've always liked her, but I knew that she doesn't like me. So I just stay back anyways. You know what I mean? She's a strong personality too. So I'm like,
it's kind of like when someone is jealous of you or competitive with you, but you have no idea, mm-hmm. or you're complete opposites. And it's just like, why? Like, it's totally an internal thing, you know? Yes. Like, someone was telling me the other day that they have a friend that is a complete opposite. Like, this, my friend was like, she's like beautiful brunette and like more petite, more like just a different personality. And then her friend, like her old friend, was blonde. A lot like stockier, taller, like way more like loud and outgoing, like complete opposites. Mm-hmm. And she was jealous of my friend. And she's like, she told her, like, yeah, you know, like I just kind of am like jealous of you, you know, and I can tell how other people could be jealous of you. And she's like, but we're completely different. Like, the same guys wouldn't like us. We wouldn't like this. Like, you know, it's just like everything is so different. Just embrace who you are and love who you are and, like, use that as your value versus wanting to be like someone else.
Well, isn't that the biggest form of flattery, is to want to be like someone else? Like, if I was like, Melody, like, I want my hair just like yours. I want my eyeliner just like yours. I want your butt. Like, you should be flattered rather than like, ugh, they're bothering me. They're trying to be just like me. Mm-hmm. So that's your insecurities.
Well, because when someone does that, it could also be like
a threat.
Like, someone is trying to, like, overstep into your identity. So it's like also threatening who you are. Like, they want to be like me, but this is who I am. Why can't they be them? Like, then it doesn't individualize yourself from them, you know?
Yeah.
Then it's not flattery. It's like defense. You're like, don't be like me. Let me be myself.
Oh my God. So it reminds me of this, what's his name? It's like Sadhu Guru, Sadhguru. Have you heard of him?
Maybe.
He's got like this big white beard, this guru guy, Indian man. But he says, if you feel insecure, you're going to try to avoid life. So he's like, so why don't you just go into the ocean and die if that's what you want? He's like, what's the big deal? Because he was saying, like, it's like, we have, like, these egos. Like, everyone's so worried. He's like, as soon as you stop being worried, he's like, do you know how many people have come into this earth and left? And, like, what, you're worried that you're not going to leave an imprint, or you're worried that people are going to think you weren't funny. You're worried that your nose was too big. You're worried about your neighbors liking you. He's like, do you think any of that would matter at all? He's like, you don't get to bring a to-go bag with you at the end. Like, I was like, oh my God, I love this guy. But the fact that he's like, well, if you know, like, you have all these insecurities, then just go die. You know, like, he's like, I mean, if you don't want to try, because when you're insecure, obviously, then once again, you have no willingness to try something, because you're just like, I'm insecure about it. It is what it is.
Yeah. Right?
I love it. Just check out, because that's kind of what my personality does, where I'm like, meh. Like, yeah. I remember being younger, like people would be like, oh, why don't you model? Why don't you model? Oh, hell no. I'm not going to model. Like, even though I secretly really wanted to, I wanted that attention, but I had way too much insecurities to get in front of a camera and be like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. But do you think it was because you were comparing yourself to other people that were already doing it?
No, I didn't know anyone who's, I think that was the biggest problem, is I didn't know how to get into it. I didn't know anyone to, I had no guide. Like, I was just like, people would just tell me their opinions. Like, oh, why don't you get in front of the camera? And I'm like, have you seen pictures of me?
So maybe you're like subconsciously defensive because of the prospect of like failing or not making it, or like, because you weren't secure with yourself, you let that kind of bleed out to think that other people would think the same things you think about yourself, which most of the time people don't.
It's definitely like a feeling of failure. I kind of embrace now as I get older, like my failures are my biggest accomplishments because they've pushed me to move into different directions. I wouldn't be where I was today because of my crazy failures. Like, people's like, wow, you've done a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what though? I still keep going. Like, I still will keep moving.
Yeah.
But so I don't think it's, I don't know. I'm not sure about the feeling of failing, but maybe the criticism during the failure.
Yeah.
That's hard to digest.
Because you put so much value on other people's opinions of what you needed to do for yourself, when truly they could care either, they could care less either way. Like, if you made it or you didn't, or like you looked a certain way or you didn't, like, they're like, okay, cool, do it or don't.
Yeah.
Or like, I'll support you either way.
Yeah.
But you were looking for that validation from them instead of like taking that energy and focus to just like put your head down and do it for yourself.
Yeah. I like that. Put your head down and do it for yourself. Imagine how much we could get done with that. That's like a beautiful quote.
Well, if you keep it on this subject. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but It is more for like people that, let's say, aren't tech, like in like social generalization to be like beautiful, right? Like, okay, when you look at some, like traditionally, when someone looks at someone that's beautiful, like their features are all like
symmetrical.
They complement. They're more like softer or petite for a woman or whatever, you know? Or like a body type should look a certain way, where it's like an average, right? But there's like certain people, and it's like, especially you can point out like celebrities or people that are famous, you know, or you could be like, okay, Sarah Jessica Parker has like a big nose. She has like this mole, but like she embraces it. She has so much money. She has so many resources. She could have easily gotten a nose job.
Right.
Or like, I don't know, like different famous people have features that most people would be insecure about or wouldn't call it beautiful, but it actually makes them
stand out,
be more beautiful in that difference or that uniqueness.
I agree. When people have gaps in their teeth, like their front gap, like I'm like, oh my God, it's the cutest thing ever. I don't know so much about like big nose, big forehead. You know what I mean? Like beautiful. I don't know. It just might make them stand out more, but I totally agree with the gap in the teeth. I'm like, oh, it's so cute.
Yeah. I had a gap when I was a little kid.
You did?
Mm-hmm. But I had to get a spacer. Close it up.
Speaking of insecurities, I have a small gap in my between my front two teeth. And every once in a while, someone will be like, oh, you have pepper. Because literally the smallest black
thing. Is it on the top or the bottom?
It's right in the middle.
Oh, I have that on the bottom right here.
Oh, yeah. I can see it. It looks like pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people will be like, oh, you have pepper. And I'm like, at first I used to be insecure about it. And now, because I talk so much about my gums being big, that I'm like, oh, No, and I have also have a gap in between my teeth, so check that out too. But I bring humor to it because I'm comfortable with it. Like I know.
Are you
that,
sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I know. Because I really used to never even talk about my gums because I was so insecure about it. But like laughing and like encouraging it and talking about it has really made me comfortable with it and something where I'm like, it's part of me. Normally I would.
But
like,
why do you have to bring attention to it and why do you have to laugh about it?
Because I don't think it's attractive. Like I don't think it's like a good like.
What's attractive? Your
my gums.
To who?
To me, like that's to me, like that. I don't find it like an attractive thing. Like it's something like when I see other people with big gums, I'm like, oh, you have big gums too. Like we talk about it, and I'm like, have you heard that it's like an inbred thing? Because I've heard that too.
It is.
I'm not inbred, but well, you never know. My dad was adopted, so someone down the line could be a cousin. No, but I don't know. I just strongly feel like I bring it up because of like finally being comfortable with it. Because okay, I feel like not, I would avoid it.
Okay. And I'm only pushing back on this because this is kind of something I've like dealt with, but not with the gums. Mm-hmm. But it's like interesting to me that you, even though you're saying you're like comfortable with it and you've embraced them, whatever, you're still like, highlighting it and you're using humor mm-hmm. as a way to like still diffuse it and like, okay, I don't know if you're going to understand this. It's like, okay, you have your gums are your insecurities.
Right.
You're still bringing attention to be like, hey, so I have these gums, by the way, funny, like they don't bother me, but like you're still talking about it and you're still bringing attention to it versus not even bringing attention to it, not even talking about it, because it is who you are and like you've embraced it.
But that's like saying, because I talk about my legs being long and having long, skinny legs. And so how would that, like bringing attention to that, so that means I'm insecure about my legs too?
I don't know. Because I know like when someone has said something to me about like something I was teased about when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Or, like, say something. I don't know what someone... Like, I don't... Oh, I think my boyfriend was, like, putting my hair behind my ears. Mm-hmm. And, like, growing up, I was teased about my ears. Like, I was called Dumbo because my ears were so much bigger for my face.
Right.
Right? And then I'll bring attention. Like, oh, yeah, well, when I was a little kid, like, my ears were, like, big and I was called Dumbo. But now they're, like... Like, I grew into them, you know? But
right.
I was also teased for having a big nose and big eyes and a big butt and, like... You know, like, it's like I had to, like, talk about all those things. And then in a way, it's like, am I subconsciously, like, wanting an affirmation to be like, no, your butt's not big. Your nose isn't big. What are you talking about? Your eyes aren't. Like, oh, you know, but is it because I'm secure with it now, but I'm still asking for someone to validate that they're not
that anymore?
Well,
because I wouldn't want
anymore.
Someone to validate it. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want someone... Like, obviously, if I went to, like,
but
dinner, I wouldn't be like, hey, everyone, I've got big gums. You know what I mean? But if I'm, like, high at a restaurant and we're laughing so hard and my gums get stuck, I'm like, oh, got big gums. I have to, like, bring up, like, look, I have to adjust my lip because it gets stuck on the top, you know? So it's more of, like, being comfortable chatting about it rather than, like... You talk about, like, having those insecurities when you're little. Like, I was the itty-bitty-titty committee. What did I do? 18, I got boobs.
Yeah.
I regret that so much. I want these things out so bad. But I still, like, I never talk about my boobs at all. Like, that was a part where I'm like, I just wish I never got them. I just don't want to bring attention to them. Actually, now I do bring a little attention. I bring my party tit
boob.
Comes out. Side boobs, party tit. But I don't know. I think that's very, very, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, when I was saying, like, I've kind of done this before, it also made me think about, like, compliments. Do you ever, like, have someone give you a compliment? Like, oh, I, like this or I like that. And then you respond instead of being like, oh, thank you. or whatever. Like, you're like, oh, no, or oh, it's not that. Or it's like you make an excuse about it instead of... You
downplay it. Like, I got it on sale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, this old thing or whatever. Instead of just, like, being like, oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Like, someone called me out on it before. Where I would be like, oh, no, or I'm not, or, like, whatever. And then they're like, why can't you just take a compliment? Why can't you just say thank you? That's it.
I like that.
You know? And yeah. then it's like, they told me, they're like, you are insecure when someone is trying to pay you a compliment. Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying thank you, you're sitting there, like, being insecure. And you're telling them all your insecurities. And you're not loving yourself, you know? Or just, like... acknowledging or embracing like who you are or what they're talking about.
Yeah. That's wild. Mm-hmm. So what can you do about it? Well, those seem like visuals. A lot of the thing we're talking about is like visually, but what about like insecurities? Like, okay. So the most, let's see, where is it? I had a, of course, now I can't find it. If you're a worrier, you have a habit of worrying. So you need to break that habit by trying. That one was really good for me. Okay, let me find what I was going to tell you. It was an article by Robert and Lisa Firestone. And I really liked it because I literally had to stop. It was like a TED Talk. So I had to stop and pause it. And it's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I like this one. So they talk about, oh, gosh. So we are all called a narcissistic generation. We're told that technology and social media are giving us an inflated sense of self, but most of us don't walk around feeling like we're all that great. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, that I literally had to stop because I was like, I feel that. Like, I see all these people that I think are super secure and mm-hmm. super confident. And or that who I think should be secure and confident.
Yeah.
And then you talk to them in person and it's a night and day human being.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, in fact, there is one underlying emotion that overwhelmingly shapes our self-image and influences our behavior. And that is insecurity. If you could enter the minds of people around you, even the narcissistic ones, you're likely to encounter ceaseless waves of insecurity. A recent survey found that 60% of women experience hurtful, self-critical thoughts on a weekly basis. 60%.
It's really sad.
I know. But I really felt that way because I was like, there's so many people I would think would walk around with this crazy confidence, and they're walking around just with this... I think it's false insecurities almost, because it's like, wait, like you said, like no one even notices that about you.
Yeah.
So how do we break them? That's the question.
I think there's like going off of what you're saying with like, perception.
Yeah.
Right. Where you're saying, oh, I'm like this person is trying to fill their insecurity with this perception for everyone else in the world to believe that they are this way, and they can't even believe it themselves.
Right.
And like when I was researching this, what came up with insecurities is people that are perfectionists have a lot of insecurities because they're never satisfied with their performance. So, like, you think a perfectionist is perfect. Like, oh, they're perfect. They have everything done right. Their life is perfect. But it's those actions are based on insecurities.
So, do they have more insecurities? Like, a person who thrives to be perfect or a perfectionist, do they have more, would they say, more insecurities than your average Joe? Like, I wonder what the studies are on that.
I don't know. I think insecurities are different for each person and mm-hmm. different levels. And then there's also like the factors that cause insecurity. So it's like nature versus nurture, your environment, or how you're brought up, or like social constraints that like people create or people put on you, or like social media, stuff like that, you know, how you interpret it, the people that you're around and how they influence it. So if you know, that saying is misery loves company. Mm-hmm. So if you're always with your friends that are always insecure, they're always judging other people, or they're like judging themselves or talking about things that they're trying to like compare or be like, you're going to start feeling that way too, because you're going to start thinking like them. You're going to be thinking about how they're thinking about themselves or other people, and maybe they're thinking about you, or, you know, all of that stuff that's in your head that you're not dealing with, you know. And like, people have it with insecurities with their jobs, right? Like, there's, I know I've mentioned it before, but Sheryl Sandberg, she wrote this book called Lean In, mm-hmm. and it's about like women not leaning into their fullest potential and opportunities in the workspace because they're insecure that they're not good enough for that job, or they're not going to be able to take that job on when other things happen in their lives. And so it's like, why don't you believe you can have that job? Why don't you believe you're strong enough or capable enough? Or why don't you think you're knowledgeable enough about talking about the coffee enemas or any of those things? You know, it's like, you don't have to know everything, but what you do know, you should feel secure about it. Or maybe it's like, on the flip side of it, maybe it's a good thing to like not feel 100% secure about things, because then you're hubris.
Yeah.
And you're like your own like downfall, because you're so like confident that you're so blind, you can't look past that you really don't know.
Yeah. One time I was at my little dance class, and we were talking about different like bone broths, and the one girl, like, she's talking about cancer and all this stuff, and I was like, oh, I heard like bone broth is actually not good for when you have lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what they were talking about, and the instructor's like, oh, Kelly, what do you think about that? And I just like, I don't know, there's tons of studies, I have no idea. Like, some people, it's controversial. Some people say bone broth is 100% for cancer. Yeah. And some people, other studies say no. And one of the women in the class is like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm a makeup artist. But I said it so confident because I knew what she was doing. And she was like, oh, my daughter is a something. She gave it like a 5 label, basically a nutritionist at USC and blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you should ask her about it then and see what she thinks. Like, you could tell that she was coming at me. I'm like, and what's your title? I've just been a sick human being, like, advocating for myself. Like, I'm sorry, I have no title for you. Yeah. But having the confidence, like, I felt good. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of laughed about it because I was like, that's a stepping stone for me thinking like, oh my God, there is the insecurity of thinking like, oh, she thinks I'm dumb. Clearly she thinks I'm dumb. Or she actually just is questioning like who she's listening to. Where do I get this information?
Right. Yeah.
So my insecurity was like, oh, this bitch thinks I'm dumb. So just play that game, you know?
So. Yeah. But that's good that you were able to just be like, you know, I'm confident in what I learned and what it means for myself. You know, and whether she cares or likes it or not, like, she could go figure it out on her own.
Like, I don't need my job title to be confident in what I do. You know, like, I'm willing to change, too. Like, if there's something that I've been doing that I thought was healthy, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, wait, this coconut milk that I've been drinking this whole time that says organic isn't good for me? You know, small things. You should be able to also pivot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, another thing that we're talking about with insecurities of not just being physical, right? Like, you could be insecure with your job. You could also be insecure in your relationships. Mm-hmm. And there's this book that my sweet friend gifted me, and it's called Attached. I don't know if you've heard of it or mm-hmm. not, but there's 3 main, in adults, attachment is designated in 3 main styles. So there's either secure, anxious, or avoidant. And, like, obviously you're secure, you feel safe, you feel confident, and you're good within who you are. But then there's the anxious one where you're, like, insecure, right? You're anxious. You don't know what's going on.
This is you in a relationship. This is your behavior in a relationship or you as an individual human being.
This is specifically talking about relationships.
Okay.
Like how people respond and perceive intimacy in romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And it parallels what they found in children. So it's, this is specifically about relationships, behaviors, but I haven't read the whole book yet. But my assumption is that this also translates in your life too. Like in your relationships at work with people that you work with. Are you secure and you trust your counterpart, you trust your boss, you trust, you know, the people that you work with, or do you not? And so you're always anxious with how they're going to respond or how they're going to follow through on something, you know? Or do you avoid them? Are you like not wanting to have any confrontation with them? You just like don't want to commit to hanging out with them. You don't want to go to lunch with people, so you avoid them, you know?
Or yeah.
There's people in relationships that avoid commitment. And so if the other person in the relationship isn't secure, then they start to become anxious because they're insecure. And then they start like being insecure about their relationship with the other person.
So which no then trust. You turn into a nightmare of a person that you do not want to be in a relationship.
Yeah, you're a clingy psycho.
I feel like that's a very, very, very common one. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that relates to a lot of people can relate to that. I see it with personal friends and I'm like, if you were just normal, then he would like you.
Yeah.
If you gave him what you do, like when you're hanging out with me, not you personally, I'm just certain friends in general, like if you gave him exactly what you give me, like you should be put on a pedestal with this guy. But as soon as he comes around, like you drop everything, like you turn into this weak human being. Mm-hmm. And it's a fear of like being left or whatever these insecurities are, and you're like, yeah. Oh my gosh, like you have the potential to be a goddess.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that broken record, going back to being, it's about self-love, because I really think it is. Like, if you love yourself and you just acknowledge and embrace who you are, right? Yeah. Like, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be like everyone else. But if you're like, you know what? This is what I look like. Like, I couldn't change, like, I couldn't pick before I was born. This is how I want my gums. This is my smile. This is my nose. This is my hairline. Whatever, right? Like, this is my personality. This is my laugh. This is my, like, intelligence or my like brain chemistry. Like you can't like choose how you were created, but you can choose how you embrace it and how you live. And so it goes back to reflecting and acknowledging who you are. And if you have that insecurity, you have that trauma from when you were younger or from a relationship, like you need to seek help. You need to ask for help through a professional therapist or like a priest or a guru or whoever it is, or maybe it's your like family or your friends or people that, you know, can keep you accountable and give you love and support you as you're like learning to re-love yourself or just learn to love yourself initially because you never really did it in the past.
Yeah. Damien and I like to call that damaged goods. It's true. We all have it. Like, I mean, whether you're carrying damaged goods from your first relationship, from your family, you could be carrying damaged goods literally from your grandmother that had a bad relationship that's been carried through DNA.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with that.
But it's like you can look at it as a bad thing or you can kind of break it apart and look at it as like damaged goods. That's like that's the damage, but it doesn't like... It could be good that comes out of it. Like you've learned about the damage and you want to like release it.
Right.
So good can come out of it.
That reminds me of, oh my goodness. On that insecurity. So they talk about the using highly emotional extrinsic stimulus to attack, your insecurities is actually a really bad choice to do.
So like, give an example.
So like... me getting boob job because I had the itty bitty titty committee, like because the kids called me that.
Yeah.
Or a woman that was made fun of or got broken up to because she was overweight and she lost all this weight. Or a man same thing, bodybuilding, because of insecurities. So when you do like award driven behavior for some, like, your insecurities, it doesn't look good in the long run.
Yeah. It makes sense. It kind of sounds like the perfectionist kind of person where they're,
well, you'll blow your steam. Like, you'll have, you know, the first 20 days or 3 weeks, whatever it is, that you have that go mode mentality of like anger, frustration, willpower, all this stuff. And then you lose steam because you've let it all out. You've released the pain. And then now what's your drive?
But then does like the self-doubt kind of creep back in, like, okay, well, I fixed this, but I'm not getting the validation or recognition, or I did in that high, but now it hasn't lasted. So,
or it didn't properly heal correctly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay, so that's kind of like in the whole like plastic surgery world. Ugh. Like when I had my reconstruction done after my double mastectomy, one of my breasts bottomed out.
Okay. So, wait, what is that? Oh my God, that was the best visual ever. What does that mean?
I'm literally going to pee in my pants. You have to pause it. Thanks. I was literally dancing on my seat.
No problem.
Okay, bottoming out. So I didn't really know something was wrong with me until I was trying on bathing suits to go to Yacht Week in Croatia. And one of the bathing suits is like a one piece, and the top like had like a little gap underneath my boobs, and I tried it on and I was showing it to my roommate at the time. I was like, what do you think? Do you think this is cute? And she's like, that's really cute. And I turned around and looked in the mirror, and like half of my other boob was like hanging out into that like gap. So it's like
underneath.
Yeah. It's like my radiated breast, like the skin is tighter. And so like my boob was just like normal and perky. And then the left side, my skin was like normal skin, and the implant that the doctor put in there was like too heavy for my skin, and so it like bottomed out. So
it,
like,
oh my God, I was visualizing,
like, sagging.
It was like you're gonna pee it out or something, like it bottomed out of your body.
No, like it sagged so much that like it bottomed out, and then like one nipple was like pointing up to the sky and another one was just pointing straight. Oh. So I was like freaking out, you know? And then I was so insecure. I'd like look at all my pictures and everything. And I went back to my plastic surgeon and I was like, you need to fix this. And so I went back under surgery. And then afterwards I was like, wait, did he do it right? Does the other one need to change? So it's like, you get into this mindset of perfectionism. You're like, but was it done right? Is it not? And you're like scrutinizing it. And I had to stop and realize, like, this is the beginning of a downhill,
yes,
like, slide for people that get into plastic surgery. And, like, you see people and you're like, whoa, that's botched, or I can't believe they did that, or, you know, they went too far. But it's, like, a mental thing.
It is.
And it's an addiction, and it's an insecurity, and it's really, really scary.
And it's very easily to get involved in it. Like, I literally have clients all the time that are wanting to go thicker, longer for lashes. And I'm like, no. Remember what we talked about when you first came to me and how I said I was never going to let you go there. And it's true, because you see yourself one way and you're like, well, I don't know, I could just use a little pick me up. I need a little bit more, and start to do Botox a little bit more.
Right. And then it's also like, it goes back to like comparing what other people are doing or how they look or how they're getting complimented or things that like are positive happening in their lives that isn't happening in yours. And so people associate, oh, well, they have a boyfriend because they got a nose job, or they have a boyfriend because they have big boobs or whatever. And then you're like, oh, well, if I get that done, then maybe I'll have that good fortune like they do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
You think that would go over well with Damien? Like, babe, we could have the world's greatest relationship if you just get me that Gucci bag. Like, how well would that go over with him?
I'll be so happy.
Babe, we would have the ultimate relationship. We're just missing that one Gucci bag.
But the way that you care and you're considerate and talk to your clients isn't how a lot of plastic surgeons talk to their patients.
Yeah. You but know? There are some incredible ones that I have heard where they're like, oh no, I've been turned away.
Mm-hmm. Well, my plastic surgeon that did my reconstruction was like very conservative in the sense where he was like, I won't do augmentations on people that are obnoxious and big and just like aren't good for you.
Yeah.
He's like, I fix those. I don't want to be that. I don't want to put my name behind that. And I don't want you to be mad with me and then like give me bad reviews or bad business, you know, like,
yeah,
it's too bad there's not a lot more people out there like that. But
well, I mean, I've known that for a long time as far as like insecurities and putting like that quick extrinsic stimulus on it. Mm-hmm. Like I have always had, I'm going to say it out loud for all you guys, don't ever make fun of me, but I've always had an insecure thing about my butt. And now later, as we're getting older, butts are in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I was always that girl with the big boobs, little ass, skinny waist, long legs. And now, the butts are in. I mean, I'm a rapper, too, if you didn't know. But butts are in. And I'm like, do you know how easy it would be to go get a boob or a butt job? Like, so easy.
Yeah.
So easy. And I've thought about it for years where I'm like, I'll just go get a butt job. And it's like, no, you can actually just go do squats and, like, mentally make yourself strong enough. Because whatever insecurity is about not having a booty, by going and getting an augment, is it a butt augmentation?
I think so, because you're augmenting it.
To me, it's not working hard enough. So, like, I have that mental strength of, like, no, you got to do it hard. You got to do it right.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's just because I've known that for so long. Mm-hmm. Of like, you can go and get surgery, but that doesn't change your mental state.
Right. It can also make it worse because, like, a trend changes or it fades out. You know, it's like all these girls that are trying to get these big butts and fake butts. It's like gross. And it's kind of the opposite where I grew up with a bubble butt. I grew up with a big butt, you know, and like, I would get laughed or teased about it, or I would feel a little like insecure, like, oh, there's this attention on my butt. But it was like how I was born, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like everyone's trying to get a big butt.
Yeah.
You know? But
I did
when that fad like goes away, what are they going to be doing?
Liposuction.
You know, like flabby, saggy butts.
Liposuction. I don't think flabby butts will ever be in. But I did read like one, or wrote down one tool, like a way of like how you can help yourself.
Only one?
Only one. Because that's how I'm going to, this is how I'm going to work on it. Well, besides just like choosing, because I'm black and white, there's no gray areas. I'm just going to be like, okay, fine. If you're insecure about this, then just go in the ocean and die. But take 15 minutes alone in a room, meditating on who you want to become. Picture a better version of yourself, free from the insecurity, that's holding you back. So with a pencil, you're going to write down what that image looks like.
Why not with a pen?
Well, I guess you could do it, you can, but you know, if you're drawing, you might have to erase. So.
Okay.
So with a pen or pencil, preferably a pencil. Write what the image looks like and the steps that you need to take to achieve that better version of yourself. So that is something that I'm going to do. And okay. I'm going to see how, so it's at least bringing awareness to what your insecurity is and then steps to how you can change that insecurity. According to this guy, they say that if you're just willing to try, that you'll start to change.
Yeah. I like that because you're reflecting and then you're putting an action plan together. And then I would take it a step further to be like, okay, I'm going to reflect on it and I'm going to do this within a certain amount of time, or I'm going to check in. And then maybe you can have like someone that you feel secure and safe with that you trust. So you're not doing this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, you're trying to work on yourself, or you're trying to eat healthy, or you're trying to work out. Like, usually you're more successful if you have a workout buddy, or you have a coach, or a trainer, or something, someone that keeps you accountable, or you journal it, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me think about, have you ever watched the movie The Help?
I don't think so.
So it's like, I don't remember what era or when it was, what's it called? Taken place. But it was basically in the time where there was, like black people were hired as like the help, right? So they would like be the cooks, they would be the cleaners of the houses. And they were still like, there was still segregation going on. Mm-hmm. And so there's this girl who lives like with help, right, in their home. And she gets teased, right? And so her nanny is a black woman. And so she tells her, she goes, she boosts her up and she's telling her to tell herself, like, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. And so she like taught her whenever she felt low or insecure or being laughed at, like, that she was all of these great things.
That was her trigger.
Yeah. So like if someone was like, you're ugly or whatever, like remind yourself, you are kind, you are important, and you are special. Mm-hmm. And so maybe in this reflection, what people can do is like think about your greatness. What, okay, you have these weaknesses, you have these things that you believe are weak or an insecurity or whatever is the thing that you're challenged with, mm-hmm. but what are the things that are good about you? Like, and it doesn't have to be physical. It could be like how you are to others or how like you're successful at doing something or you're creative in it or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And when you are feeling low or down, to remind yourself of those things that you are secure in, you know?
Yeah. Could you name something you're secure in?
I know that I'm like, I'm giving, I'm kind, I'm loving, I'm creative.
It's interesting because you just were able to like babble off. But as you were saying that, like, I'm like, what am I? I wasn't able to think of something personally that I was secure with. And I don't think of myself as an insecure human at all.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, what am I secure with, though?
But maybe it's not thinking of what you're secure with. It's mm-hmm. what you're good at, what you've been able to accomplish or be successful in doing. So, like, you're creative, you're kind, you're a thoughtful person. Like, you are just, like, you're very generous. You're, like, you make people feel really comfortable. There's like so many good things about you, you know, like you're a great girlfriend, you're a great sister, you're a great daughter, like you're a great friend, you're all these great things, you know, so it's, you don't have to have a long laundry list, you know,
it could be, but like, it's just being able to see that with, you know, like going back to exactly what you said, self-love, but mm-hmm. being able to like look inward and graciously say those things or confidently say those things, or, yeah. you know.
Well, if you're having a hard time self-reflecting to find that, right? Like mm-hmm. you're still trying to build your self-security, self-love, then ask someone that you love and you trust. Like, can you tell me some things about me that you recognize or characteristics or, you know, actions or how I make you feel? Mm-hmm. Oh, you make me feel like you love me. You make me feel like you care. You always give me gifts. You always like call me and you're thoughtful in what I'm going through. You have a great memory, whatever. And then that can like give you those little things until you start to recognize your own like things that you love about yourself or you recognize that you do.
Nice. I like that. I do.
But in the meantime, if you can't find one, just use kind, use smart, and use important. All right. Well, you know the drill.
Don't tell anyone. don't listen.
Don't like us. Don't follow us. Don't subscribe.
Don't watch videos on YouTube either.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't look and see that we have 11,000 views.
Woohoo! I love it. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.